You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Sunday afternoon on Sports Radio 92 on the Game, live from the Northern Kia Studios, John Fricke with you. This is the first day of the first football week. Welcome to an Atlanta Falcons football week. The Falcons play this week, Friday night, Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Well, the sort of Falcons against the sort of Lions on Friday night. But nonetheless, it is Falcons football. And, of course, the big question is, you know, will we see Michael Penix at all? Will we see Kirk Cousins? Joe Patrick and I talked in the first hour of the show about that. I don't know how they're going to play this. The Falcons do have joint practices coming up with the Tennessee Titans, where I think Michael Penix will get a lot of run. Personally, I wouldn't play Kirk Cousins at all. If I played Michael Penix, it would be for a series where he would hand off to Tyler Algier, hand off to somebody else, and throw a quick out, and then we punt. That's it. And that would be the extent of it. I'm not going to put him in any harm's way. I'm not going to have him, you know, do anything but just show up and wave to the fans, basically. And I understand that you want it's trying to get players ready because you need to get the timing down. And he's had some good days and bad days in terms of timing at camp, from what I read. But at the moment, that first game being so critical against Tampa at home. But for the moment, you know, you want to protect your guy first off, because the number one thing coming out of preseason and going into that opener will be health. You know, that's the number one thing. You got to have your players ready, and you have to have them healthy. So with that Tampa game looming and the importance of that opening game, because it's really critical for both teams, but especially for the Falcons. Because it's their home game. Their home game against the team that has won four straight division titles, beat them at twice last year, had the big shootout game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and maybe another shootout again this year against Baker Mayfield. So it's a really important game for the Falcons, and that's the opening game being at home against Tampa is, I'm not going to say it's must win in week one, but if you don't, because it isn't, but if you don't win the game, then you feel like you're kind of playing from behind right off the jump, and you don't want to do that. You want Tampa to really feel like they're playing from behind from the opening week here. Braves do play that Speedway Classic game, the pickup from where they left off yesterday, today in Bristol after the debacle of last night. It was sort of a metaphor, wasn't it? Sort of a metaphor for the entire year. My brother went to the game, said it was just a cluster, the whole thing. Traffic getting into Bristol Motor Speedway, parking was a cluster, getting into the stadium took 45 minutes, he was in the concession line for 45 minutes, it's pouring rain, he said the whole thing was just not well done. And so, that's a shame. Atlanta United lost again last night in Leagues Cup. They played 26 games this year, 26 matches if you prefer, 26, and they've won a grand total of four of those 26. Four. Yeah, this is the kind of summer we've had here. 4 wins for Atlanta United in 26 outings. And the Braves, you know, today's kind of it. You know, I thought yesterday would be it, but they didn't even finish the game because, yeah, you know, I mean, it turned into a cluster, sort of like the Braves season has been. So today is it. And then the Braves are back home tomorrow. Fortunate for both the Braves and the Reds that they had both had the day off. I don't know, maybe that was by design, just in case there was a rain thing that happened at Bristol, to have Sunday off for both teams so they could play this game, because they invest a lot of money into this game. A lot is poured into this game. A lot of cash. And they want to make sure they get their money back. So with 85,000 fans there, it'd be interesting to see how many of those stuck around, because a lot of them are from out of town, and so they probably didn't have hotel rooms, and so they probably left and went home. So I wouldn't imagine, even if they sold those 85,000 tickets, and once they started the game, those tickets are good. Now you get re-entry on those tickets, but I'm guessing if you, you're not getting your money back, if you want to try and get your money back. Nope, they started the game. I think that was one of the reasons they started the game, was to make those tickets valid. And even though they played in the rain for only an inning, or even less than an inning, I just think they wanted to make those tickets valid. That may be a little bit cynical, but I think that there's some truth to that. And so as a result, how many of the 85,000 show up today? It'd be interesting to see how many of those 85,000 do come back. Are 85,000 there or 20,000 there? 404-726-0929, of course, is the phone number. We're talking about the Falcons today. They've been fighting at camp, and I've been asking if you think it's a good thing they're fighting. And James Fierce, tussles, Rick Aurora, Felipe Franks got into a tussle. Micah Parsons. The question I have about Micah, first off, I don't think the Falcons are in the Micah Parsons business right now, but are the Falcons really one player away from winning a Super Bowl? Because that's what you do. If you're one player away from winning a Super Bowl and Micah Parsons is that player, then you make the move. You do whatever it takes to make the move. Are the Falcons one player away? And if they're not, then how far away are they? Because really, that's the move. You would make the move for Micah Parsons right now to win it this year. Right? To win it this year. That's the whole point of making the Micah Parsons move. Now, first off, I don't think Jerry Jones came out yesterday and was telling Cowboys fans, don't worry, I got this. In other words, they're going to figure out Micah, because he's going to be ungodly expensive. Look, the guy's going to go to the Hall of Fame. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. I get it. He is an incredible player. Would I love to have him on the team? Of course. Who wouldn't want to have Micah Parsons? But his price tag is enormous. Like, his next contract, he will be the highest paid non-quarterback in the history of the NFL. It will be an enormous contract in, you know, 40-some million a year, right? Which he deserves. I'm not arguing he doesn't deserve it either. I'm just saying that it's, when you've got other considerations here, it's okay to make the move if you're willing to spend the money, if he's going to be the guy that can bring you a Super Bowl now, this year. If he's the missing piece between you and a Super Bowl, then yes, you would try and sell your soul and multiple number one picks and players and money and everything to get him, if he's the one guy. Is he really? So everybody's screaming, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. I'm like, is that what we're talking about? That's all I'm asking. Now, I don't think he's actually going to be available to anybody unless somebody offers Dallas a Herschel Walker trade, which they may. They could. And if you're Dallas at this point, since you haven't been to a conference championship game in 30 years, I mentioned this earlier, last time the Cowboys went to a conference title game, every team in the NFC has been to the NFC championship game since the Cowboys went last. The longest drought of any team in the NFC of NFC championship game appearances, the Dallas Cowboys. They're 30 years since they've been in the NFC title game. It's been so long that the starting corner for the Cowboys in their last NFC championship game was Deion Sanders. And so that's how long it's been. And so the Cowboys haven't, it was the same year, you know, that the Braves won a World Series. So it's been that long since the Cowboys have been in a conference championship game. Been 30 years. And so, again, I don't think he's going to be part of it, so I'm not really worried about it. I have a good friend of mine. His name is Ed. He and I were talking. Was on his podcast. He's a very close friend of mine. He's my daughter's godfather, actually. And Ed, who I've known for almost my whole professional life, was saying to me that he is now checked out of college football. He is no longer interested in college football because he thinks the sport has been ruined by the NIL and by the transfer portal and by some of the things that are going on now. So he's out. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. I mean, if he is, I'm out on certain sports. I admit that. I'm sure you're out on certain sports. There are a lot of us fans. You can't be a fan of every sport. So, you know, there are a lot of people out there, for example, that are listening, they can't stand golf. That's fine. You're out. You know, I mean, that's good. It's okay. There's sports that I'm frankly not watching the LPGA Tour. I like golf, but not the LPGA. I'm out. You know, I'm not watching the LPGA Tour. It's just not my thing. He's out on college football now. And if you're a college football fan, but the difference is I was never an LPGA fan. The college football, if you were a fan and you've checked out because of what it's become is what I'm looking for, somebody that's like Ed, which is fine. I understand it. I mean, Ed and I, we weren't arguing about it. We were just discussing it. And I was sort of surprised when he told me that he was out. But okay, you know, that's fine. I'm not out. I cannot wait. 20 days from now, college football is going to kick off. First game of the year is in 20 days. And the opening week has so many great games. I just can't even begin to tell you. This opening week is phenomenal because we'll get that game in Ireland between Iowa State and Kansas State on the 23rd, 20 days from now. And that will kickstart us into a week. Thursday, the 28th of August, East Carolina, NC State, Boise State at South Florida. Again, that's a really important game for Boise State because Boise State lost, I think, 18 players to the portal, not to mention they lost Ashton Jenny, and had to replace him. And so all these people saying Boise State's going to be back in the playoff, you're going to have to prove that to me. With that many new players, I don't know. And going to South Florida and Tampa, that's not going to be easy for you. And if they lose that game to South Florida, Boise State will pretty much be out. Nebraska-Cincinnati, my team plays Cincinnati at Arrowhead Stadium on the 28th. The next night on Friday the 29th, Georgia Tech in Colorado at Folsom Field in Boulder. Wow. You know, that'll be really intriguing for Tech, for Haynes King and Jamal Hayes and for Brent Key to go up against Prime. And he's got, you know, two new quarterbacks. I don't know, Caden Salter and Juju Lewis. Of course, a lot of people in Carrollton know Juju Lewis. I still think Juju Lewis is going to end up at Georgia or Georgia Tech. I think he's going to end up coming home. Don't tell people at Colorado, but I just have a sense he's going to come home. Because it's culture shock to go out to Colorado, and if Prime stops coaching out there, Juju's going to say, yeah, I'm probably going home. And good news, by the way, on Prime and his health, which is great to see. But Friday the 29th, Georgia Tech in Colorado, Auburn at Baylor. Guys, Auburn at Baylor is a big game. Baylor is potentially a playoff team. Hugh Freeze with Jackson Arnold at quarterback, he's got kind of a number he has to hit this year. That's probably 8 for Auburn fans to be happy. This is a big game because if Auburn goes to Baylor and beats them, that really puts a hurt in Baylor's, you know, hopes to make the playoff. And Waco's not an easy place to play. So Auburn's going to be challenged in that regard. Baylor's got a great quarterback, too. That's going to be a fun game to watch. Kennesaw State opens that night, by the way. They're at Wake Forest. But Georgia Tech at Colorado on the 29th, Auburn at Baylor on the 29th, and the next day, Saturday, where Georgia plays Marshall and Georgia State plays Ole Miss, Georgia Southern plays Fresno. But that's Saturday, the 30th, Syracuse against Tennessee at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. A lot of orange. Yeah, and an important game for Tennessee because if last year was peak Heupel, they've got to win this game. And Syracuse is no pushover. Then you have, but look at this schedule on Saturday the 30th. And if you're a college football fan, this is why I was wondering with Ed. I went down it with him. I said Syracuse, Tennessee, noon in Columbus, Texas, and Ohio State. That could be 1-2. Arch Manning against I don't know who the quarterback at Ohio State's going to be. Let's say it's Julian Sand. But Texas at Ohio State, that could be 1-2 to start the season at noon. Then Alabama at Florida State. Oh, Alabama's going to crush them. I know that Abe Gordon said Alabama's just going to wipe them. Well, that may be true. But if they don't, think of the pressure that Kalen DeBoer is under, and that game's at Doak Campbell. LSU at Clemson. at night, 7:30 at Death Valley against Death Valley. It's Death Valley days in Clemson, South Carolina. Tiger versus Tiger. I mean, how important is that game for both teams? It's critical. LSU hadn't won an opener in 6 years, and they got to go play Clemson. You got Nussmeier against Klubnik. And then for the late night owls like me, Utah and UCLA. Then the next day on Sunday the 31st, you get Virginia Tech, South Carolina, Mercedes-Benz, and Notre Dame at Miami. So think about it. In the opening, we got Notre Dame at Miami, Texas at Ohio State, Alabama at Florida State, LSU, Clemson, Syracuse, Tennessee, Virginia Tech, South Carolina, Georgia Tech, Colorado, Auburn, Baylor. Yeah, this is the opening week of college football. I'm gassed, but if you're out, you're out. Are you like my buddy Ed? That's fine. I can't wait. I've already pre-planned all this. I know exactly where I'm going to be. My butt going to be in seat, and I'm going to be watching football all day long. 404-726-0929. How do you feel about it? Let's chat it up here on a Sunday with John Fricke on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
A lot to chat about on a Sunday afternoon from the Northern Kia Studios. 404-726-0929. Dom has come into the show, the Dominator. Dom, what is up? How you doing, brother?
I am great. I'm actually kind of enjoying the rainy weather that we've got going on right now because it's cooling everything off. You know, I am very much a cold weather person, so I kind of like this.
Well, good. Yeah, I mean, it's still August. We all know that it could be hot in October, so.
That is true.
I mean, it's good to get a little reprieve, but, you know, here it comes because, you know, it's not over yet. But it is the first football week of the year, this being first day of the first football week. That's exciting, isn't it? A little bit?
Yeah. How much of the Hall of Fame game did you watch?
None.
Nothing. I saw a few highlights. I saw Trey Lance played well. I saw.
Yeah, and he's playing against backups with backups. I mean, okay.
Baby steps.
Baby steps. Right. Yeah. Sure. I mean, what is this, year five for baby steps for him?
Something like that. Yeah.
Okay. Right. So I got four questions today. I'm going to let you answer them, Dom. All right.
Ooh, let's do it.
All right. So question number one: Falcons have been fighting in camp, physically fighting. Ruka Roro, JPJ's been in a couple. Felipe Franks got into one. Well, yeah. So they're scuffling up there and they're throwing fists. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I would say on the if it's not getting to the point where like it's Dallas Cowboys where Brian Schottenheimer has to tell everyone to stop and he's forcing everyone to like run suicides and stuff like that, then okay, maybe not. But if it's just, you know, a little physicality, people going back and forth, I'm totally fine with that. I think it's good to get some aggression out, especially during training camp.
I'm good with it too. I think it shows that this team's got a little bit of spirit and spunk, and I like it. Micah Parsons, notwithstanding, you know, Jerry Jones coming out and saying, you know, to Cowboys fans that he's going to get a deal done with Micah. But what that deal is, he didn't say. He didn't necessarily say he's going to get a deal done that's going to keep Micah there. He's just going to get it. He didn't say that. So, but he, you know, he says, oh, don't worry, we're good. Okay. Do you feel like if the Falcons were one player away, and that one player were Micah Parsons, I'd be willing to sell out to get Micah Parsons. Dom, do you think the Falcons are one player away from winning a Super Bowl?
No. I still think that you need a little bit more on both sides of the ball. And it's funny because a lot of people who have listened, especially just hearing me talk on the weekends, have probably heard me be very gung-ho on being all in on getting some guys and giving up picks and whatnot. I'm not really sold on the idea of trading for Micah. I think you've already kind of leveraged some of your future. Give the rookies, you know, Walker and Pierce a chance to really flourish and see if one of them can maybe be a Micah Parsons of their own. So for me, I don't think you're a Micah Parsons away, and at this point I don't think it would be worth what you would have to give up to get them.
Yeah, I'm in the same camp. I think, you know, were the Falcons absolutely one player away from winning a Super Bowl, not winning a division, winning a Super Bowl, then yes, you would sell out to get Micah Parsons. I don't think they're one player away. Now, that doesn't say they couldn't win the Super Bowl this year. Ray Ray says it. You know, I mean, Bijan and Penix have both said we could be the best offense in the NFL. Okay, that's good. I'm glad you've got all this, you know, bravado and belief in yourself, but at the same time, you know, if you'd have to go a long way to convince me that one move makes all that difference. Even the move for a Hall of Famer, and Micah Parsons is going to be a Hall of Famer, but you know, that's that one move away. Okay, I'm not sure that that's the case, but if they decide to do it and Jerry wants to make him available, all right, I'll roll with it. Question three is about this Friday against the Lions. And for that matter, the other two preseason games. How much, if at all, do you play Michael Penix in order to get timing down with the wide receivers versus bubble wrapping him to protect him because, and for that matter, the wide receivers because Darnell Mooney, right? So how much do you consider playing starters on either side of the ball for these preseason games, most notably Michael Penix? Or do you say, look, it's more important to be healthy?
I have always been on the thought process that the only way you get better is by playing the game. Michael Penix Jr. is, for all intents and purposes, still a rookie. He only played three games last year. So he needs the reps. He needs to go out there. He needs to be out on the field. He needs to see it. For me, if it were me calling the shots, I would play him for the first quarter, get him out there, let him see some stuff, even if it's just basic, just kind of help get into a rhythm and actual game reps, and then, you know, go from there. But as far as what I think we'll see, I'd be surprised if we see him more than a drive.
Do you think Kirk Cousins plays?
No, I don't think so. What would you need to see from him, I guess, is the point. Like, even if he's not healthy or whatever, it doesn't really matter. He's not the starter. And playing him, if he goes out there and plays well, it's like, all right, well, it's against twos. And even if he does play well against some ones, if you decide to start him, it's like that can only further the conversation of, oh, maybe, you know, there's some locker room stuff. Or maybe, you know, it gets some trade value up. But I don't think that'll really happen in a preseason game. So I don't really see the benefit of putting him on the field. So I wouldn't.
Yeah, I wouldn't play him at all either. I mean, I wouldn't play him in the preseason. I wouldn't play him in the combined practices against Tennessee. I wouldn't play him in the regular season, you know, as far as being a backup, unless you got into a situation where Penix was going to be out long term.
Yeah.
And unless, you know, I mean, if he's even on the team come opening day, and then at that point, you know, that opens, the problem is the opening game is so important to the Falcons. It's a critically important game. You're playing Tampa at home. I mean, if we were playing on the road against, you know, the Patriots, that might be one thing, but you're not. You're playing Tampa at home. It's a conference game, a division game, the team that you're most direct up. It's as close to a must-win as you can have on opening day as possible. So it'll be interesting to see how they play this. I think they'll go into the opening day. If Kirk is still on the team, they'll put him in as the backup quarterback for that game just because they feel like they have to win that game. And at that point, if they get through that game and they do, let's say they do win the game, at that point, you know, you might say, okay, Kirk Cousins is going to now go to the emergency third quarterback and Easton Stick is going to be the backup because I don't want him to see the field. I don't want anything, unless you're going to play him long term, I don't want anything to risk injury to him, to devalue him in any way in order to try to get, because you lost your first round pick last year. So I think if you trade him, not just in the amount of money that you might get back from a team, I would want to ask for a team that's in panic. I want a third round pick with a second round, qualifier on it, you know, so, you know, hey, listen, a conditional second. And if he starts seven games, then it becomes a second round pick. That way you have two second round picks in the draft next year. And you can, if you want to, you know, possibly, you know, combine those and trade up into the last half of the first round. Last few picks of the first round. But I think with only one, after trading your first round pick away to get James Hurst Jr. this year, I think that, you know, the idea of getting an additional, potentially additional second round pick next year becomes critical for the team. So I'm not going to do anything to endanger that. All right, final question here is about college football. I was talking about it here. We're 20 days away from college football. And are you excited for the season? Because I don't know what my discussion was with my buddy Ed, who's checked out here, and that's why I was asking if anybody else has checked out. I'm not mad at you for checking out. And again, if you were never a college football fan, it doesn't count. But if you were a college football fan and you've checked out because of what's going on in the game in terms of transfers and portals and NILs and everything else, I find that interesting. Have you checked out? Because I can't tell you how excited I am to see these games in the opening week.
Yeah, so as I've gotten older, I've become more of a college football fan. Growing up, it wasn't something that I was super focused on. But as I've gotten older, I've began to watch more, and I've started to fall in love with it. And for me, it's not ruined for me. I think this season has so many question marks, and that's what makes it so fun. So as far as NIL and all that, I do think that there are some ugly sides of it. Obviously, we saw the whole thing with Nico. And kind of how that played out. But to me, that doesn't still take away, at least from what I'm seeing on the field and how entertaining the product on the field is. And as long as the product on the field is entertaining, I'm going to be excited and I'm going to be in.
Yeah, I'm in for all these games on the opening week. I mean, potentially
great opening week slate.
It's great. I don't think we've ever had a season where you started with, I think the AP poll might come out next week. We could have 1-2 on opening day. 1-2. I'm not sure that happened before.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've had 1-2? It'll be interesting when the poll comes out because I'm sure there'll be something said about 1-2 on opening day. Maybe it's happened before and I just missed it. It's possible it's happened before. But 1-2? Wow. If it does, if it did, was Georgia Oregon a 1-2 game? Was Georgia Clemson a 1-2 game? You could tell me if it was. Maybe one of those games was a 1-2 game to start the season. But nonetheless, it's potentially a 1-2. You know, matter of fact, I think it will be a 1-2 game. I think Ohio State will be 1, Texas will be 2. So it'll be Texas at Ohio State in a 1-2 matchup in Columbus. And the other thing it sucks is because Fox has this deal, and it's going to be a noon game. And I'm just like, okay, I get it. I understand the whole big noon Saturday thing, and you're promoting the heck out of it. I just don't like the noon game. I want a little bit of buildup during the day. I prefer that be a night game, but I take a 3:30 start. Noon is like, no, the noon's the warm-up game. That's where you get – All right, yeah, you know, Alabama, Florida State, that's a warm-up game.
Yeah, just a quick Google search here, no, a number one and number two ranked team have never faced off in open on the opening week of the season.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. How can you not get excited about the idea of a 1-2 game? You know, the favorite in the SEC against the favorite in the Big Ten, and all the chatter that's gone on between the two leagues this offseason here. There's been so much chatter. You know, the commissioners are pointing fingers at each other and talking about 9 games versus 8 and the SEC fans and, you know, the honks from the Big Ten and the honks from the SEC, the Feinbaums of the world, are saying, you know, we're the better league. No, we're the better league. Big Ten saying, we've got scoreboard. We've won back-to-back natties. And the SEC says we're, you know, a deeper league and we have the tougher schedule and that's why we're only playing 8 games or whatever. I mean, look, we settle it on the field, guys. You know, Texas and Ohio State, the two favorites, let's find out. You know, let's just settle this right here on the field. How about we don't talk about it? Let's play. Yeah, so I'm really pumped up for that. Then there's this story here. Some fans apparently in Georgia Tech are not happy with the fact that they have tried to rename the game this year between the two. Clean old-fashioned hate has been pushed aside because the game's going to be played at Mercedes-Benz Stadium this season. And it's at a neutral site for the first time ever. Tickets for the Georgia Tech game, by the way, go on sale. What's today? Today's the 3rd. Well, it would be what? Do my math here. So today is Sunday the 10th. Friday. All right. So Friday. Tickets go on sale Friday for Georgia Tech at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So you want to get onto the website there, Ticketmaster at MercedesBenzStadium.com. Check out the tickets for the, it's called the inaugural Invesco QQQ Atlanta Gridiron Classic. That will be what the game is called this year.
Yuck.
The Invesco QQQ Atlanta Gridiron Classic.
I don't like it.
But it's one year. You know, some people are getting all mad. Clean old fashioned AIDS gone. No, it's just 1 year, guys. You're missing the word inaugural. Okay, it's not going to be every year. It's one game called the Invesco QQQ Atlanta Gridiron Classic, and there's going to be a game every year that's the Invesco QQQ Atlanta Gridiron Classic, but it's not going to be Georgia and Georgia Tech, and we could still call it clean old-fashioned hate. You know, some people said we can't call it the Red River Shootout anymore between Texas and Oklahoma because that involves, you know, the idea of guns. It was always called the Red River Shootout. No, it's got to be the Red River Rivalry. All right, whatever you do. You call it whatever you want to call it. Guess what I call it? The Red River Shootout. Oh, you can't call it that. I just did. What are you going to do about it? Red River Shootout. Red River Shootout. What are you going to do? You're not going to stop me from saying it, so shut up. And I'm not worried about it being the Invesco QQQ Atlanta Gridiron Classic. It's still clean old-fashioned hate. What do you think we're going to be saying leading up to the game? Clean old-fashioned hate. You're not stopping me from saying it. So don't get your don't get it all in a wad and a bunch here about that, okay? It's going to be fine. It's just going to be weird playing it at Mercedes-Benz, that's all. On Sports Radio 92.9.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sunday afternoon on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 404-726-0929. If you want to be part of the program, you're a guest on the program, not a caller. Love to talk to you. Are the Falcons really one player away? Is that Micah Parsons' move? I mean, not that they can make it, but are they a player away from winning a Super Bowl? Would you play Penix in the preseason? It is Falcons football week. Would you play him because you need the timing? Or would you bubble wrap him because you don't want him to get hurt? How do you handle it with the Lions game coming up? Are you excited about college football with 20 days to the opening day this year, or are you soured on the game and you know, Falcons are fighting in camp? Is that a good thing or a bad thing? You can jump in, and a lot of different things to talk about today at 404-726-0929. Dom is holding down the fort here. Dom, I was talking to Noel earlier about this, about countdowns, you know, this being the first day of the first football week of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And 20 days to college football, and Corky Kell's coming up and all that kind of stuff. Because we got to be forward-thinking, right? Because the sad summer ended yesterday. It was sort of metaphorical here, but it was kind of like, yeah, that figures you'd have that kind of a disaster of a day for the Braves and the Speedway Classic.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, disaster day for a disaster season. Okay, great. Luckily, they built in a second day just for that reason, so they will play the game today, picking it up where they left off here. So I have my countdowns, but my wife has different countdowns, all right? So I was telling her, you know, last night I said, you know, it's yesterday. It was, hey, it's 3 weeks from today is college football. And she's saying, you know, yeah, but 10 days from today is Outlander Blood of My Blood. And I'm like, oh, okay, all right, I got you.
Okay.
She's huge fan of that television. She's read literally every Outlander book.
Huh. Look at that.
Like, I don't know. There's, I don't know how many there are. Lots. We got every Outlander book. That's her thing, you know. So she's like, and this is the, okay, we'll get the new series coming up. And she's excited about it. And that's 10 days away. She goes, I can't wait. And I'm like, okay. And I told her the same, you know, I said to her, you know, the same day that, and I like Outlander. It's a really good show. I said, you know, the same day that Outlander comes back, and this is a new series, by the way. It's a kind of a prequel with their two parents. But Outlander Blood for My Blood comes in on August 12th is Alien Earth.
Okay,
first episode.
I have seen some stuff for that.
I'm excited, but I'm concerned. Because the Alien series, it's 9 movies, right?
Something like that. It's a lot.
Yeah. The first is a classic.
100%.
Right. And it's Ridley Scott. It's, you know, to think back in that movie, 1979. I was 19 when that movie came out. And we had no idea what we were getting into when we went to see it. And the funny thing about it is it's really not, for being a so-called horror film, it's really not bloody. There's not, most of the, I think all the killings happen off camera.
Yep. Yep.
You know, except for the entrance scene of the alien himself, it's not a bloody, violent film. It's just a edgier seat thriller. And, you know, and none of those people were stars at the time. Tom Skerritt, Sigourney Weaver, Yaphet Kotto, you know, Harry Dean Stanton. They weren't really stars at the time. And it made them into stars. And then the second film, which, of course, James Cameron, is right there with Terminator 2 and Godfather 2 is the greatest sequels of all time. And it's a totally different film. I mean, it's a war movie.
Yeah.
With the Marines, mm-hmm. You know? Eat lead, alien. But it's a great, great film, too. Even though it's a different film. It's a great, I mean, different type of film. It goes from being a claustrophobic thriller to a flat-out war movie between the two. But then you start with Alien 3. All right, anybody who's into the Alien series, obviously I am, where they're in the prison. It just went downhill from there. Alien versus Predator, I thought, oh, this is going to be so good because I love the Predator series. Alien versus, and it just, it wasn't no good. How do you botch Alien versus Predator? How's that possible? You're taking, it's like Freddy versus Jason was awful too.
Freddy versus Jason was like bad, but it was a good bad for me at least. Like Freddy versus Jason was like, this is so bad it's good. Like it's corny and bad, but it's still an enjoyable movie to watch.
But Alien versus Predator should have been great.
Yeah, Alien versus Predator could have been a lot better. Could have been a lot better. A lot, way more potential.
Yeah, and so the first movie is 5 stars, right, in the Alien series is 5-star film. Second movie is 5-star film. And after that, maybe there's a 3-star in there, but a lot of 2-star stuff. It went downhill in a hurry. And so I don't know. I have some trepidation about Alien Earth. I want it to be really good. Now, sometimes when you spin off TV shows from series, they are or they're not. You know, the Terminator series, for example, the first Terminator was... The first Terminator doesn't hold up quite that well because it's such an 80s vibe to it. I mean, it's good. It didn't hold up as well. Terminator 2 is great, obviously. And Terminator, the rest of the Terminator films are really good. But the TV series was really good. I don't know if you remember this. I was disappointed when they canceled it. Sarah Connor Chronicles was really good. And so it was like, okay, that worked. And I want them to continue it for a long time. So I'm excited about Alien Earth, but I just hope it's good. Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see. It's always the hope. There, that's always the fun part is you have a vision. I hope it's good. And then you get that first episode and then you'll have your answer.
Because they've done this before, like in the original run of Planet of the Apes. Okay. Not in the current run. There have been 3 different runs of Planet of the Apes. If you count the Marky Mark reboot, which was a standalone single film and not very good. Okay. But then when they rebooted it again, they've been pretty darn good. But in the original run of, 6 films of Planet of the Apes, the original very first one with Charlton Heston is an absolute classic. It's truly a great film. And all the rest after that were like, You know, they got kind of cornball-y and not as good, not nearly in the, you know, universe of the first one. And then they did a TV series. So there are not many, you know, movie franchises that spin off into a TV series. Planet of the Apes was one, and the TV series was no good. And then they spun off the, you know, we mentioned they spun off the Terminator series into the Sarah Connor, and it was really good. And now Alien. Let's see if this is going to be really good. So I'm excited about it. I hope it's good. Looking forward to it.
You got me thinking. I'm trying to put together a list now of what would be some of my favorite TV show movie spinoffs.
Well, I know they did Planet of the Apes, and I know that, and again, the TV show wasn't very good. They did do, you know, The Terminator, which was really good. But see how Alien is. Those are the 3 that come to mind. I don't know if there's others. There are probably others that I just haven't realized that they spun off a movie franchise.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to think of now. I'm like, huh, how many am I missing that I know of?
I mean, they didn't really spin off. I mean, Batman, it was the TV series happened before the movies. So it doesn't, obviously that doesn't count. The TV series first before the movies. And same with Superman, TV series first, then the movies. But yeah, I don't know. It does kind of surprise you that they haven't spun off more of the Marvels into TV series too, in a way. Or
yeah.
Have they?
They did some of them, but I think what they started to do was they really started to use the TV shows as a way to introduce some of the lower level new characters.
I mean, was The Flash, was that a TV show first or a movie first?
I would assume that was probably a TV show.
I don't remember. I didn't watch any of them. I didn't watch the movies or the TV show, so I can't.
Yeah.
I don't have a timeline on it.
The newer ones with like Ezra Miller and stuff were the movies. Those movies came after the TV shows that they had for like the what was it on Fox or CW or whatever.
Yeah. So I mean, all right. Yeah, I'll buy that. But you know, TV show first and then movies. That's usually the way it goes. But
yeah,
Yeah. But in those three I just mentioned, it was, you know, it was after the TV series came after the movies. And so they tried to capitalize on that on TV. The Planet of the Apes TV series is bad. It's just no good.
Oh, I just thought of one. If you ever watched it on Netflix, it was pretty good. It was the Lemony Snicket TV series that they had.
Oh, they came after the movies?
Yeah, the Netflix series came after the movie. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. That happens occasionally. I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often if you get a great, you know. Now, tonight, I'm going to see Naked Gun.
Ooh, I want to see that. That looks like a really good just turn my brain off and have a good goofy time.
So we'll see. You know, I mean, that was a TV series that became a movie franchise. TV series came first. The TV series was called Police Squad, and I loved Police Squad. It was great. And it was Leslie Nielsen, too. And then they said, this is so good, we should do a movie. And then so Naked Gun from the Files of Police Squad is actually the title of the first film, and Naked Gun 2. And they were both really good, but I can't make myself go back and watch them. I know I loved them, but really? I can't go back and watch. I can't watch and laugh at OJ. I'm sorry, I can't.
Mm, fair enough. Fair. That's fair.
Yeah. Yeah, I cannot watch OJ and laugh. That's just not going to be in my world. Sorry, you know. And then there's me, who was actually at the crime scene. Who actually, I ever tell you that I went. Yeah, I don't know why my ex wanted to go to the crime scene, so we drove by OJ's house, and then we went down to Mezzaluna to the restaurant, and then we go over to the condo on Bundy, and I'm standing at the front. You know, they have all these gigantic potted plants, so you couldn't see because it hadn't rained, so there was still blood all over the place, but you couldn't see in because all the potted plants blocked it. Right. So we go around to the back and the alleyway behind the condo. But this is so sick. I'm not this guy. OK, but I was on this one occasion. I'm not this dude, but I was on this one occasion. So they have police tape, you know, that spans the alley there, the yellow police tape, you know, crime scene and stuff like that. And then the alleyway. But this is well after the murders. This is even after the I think this is even after the, I don't know if it was before or after the trial, but it was me. I don't remember. It was a long time ago. So I don't remember. I think it was before the trial. Anyway, there was nobody there. There were no cops or nothing. You know, we were the only people there. So I ducked under the police tape. So I walk up, I don't touch anything. Okay. But I walk up to the back gate, and on the top of the back gate is a big drop of blood. And I'm looking down the walkway and you can see blood drops down. And I'm like, oh my God.
You know what?
I don't know. Don't ask me why. I just did it.
You know what always shocks me about stuff like that is just like how easy it is to just walk onto a crime scene. Like it's so easy to just duck under police tape, even if there's like police there. It's insane. Like the amount of times I've heard a story of like how someone got onto a crime scene and it was just like, yeah, I just ducked under the tape and nobody stopped me.
Right. There was nobody there to stop me.
Well, that's true.
I'm looking around going, there's no, you know, if there was a cop there, I would be like, yeah, I'm not going under anything. But there was nobody there. We were the only people. And it wasn't, you know, from the tape at the street to the back gate was maybe 20 feet. And so I put my hands in my pockets, okay? So I'm not, it's not like, hey, you got to find your DNA at the crime scene at Bundy. No, I'm not touching nothing. But yeah, there was a big drop of blood there, right on the top of the. I was like, okay, I don't know, and I don't know what possessed me to do it. Just because I guess I could. I didn't want to go, and my ex and her sister are like, let's go see the crime. And I'm like, really? We want to go do this? It must have been during the trial or after the trial. Otherwise, I don't think we would have. It could have been worse. My brother-in-law at the time rode past OJ's in Brentwood, and OJ was out front, and he took a picture with OJ. I'm like, okay, I'm not doing that. He's like, juice. He pops out of his car, takes a photo with him. I'm like, all right, you do you. That I wouldn't have done. I know, weird things, huh? We had a chance to talk earlier today with Joe Patrick. He's our Falcons insider, about what's going on at Flowery Branch and what he's hearing about how the Falcons are going to handle the first preseason game of the year on Friday night against the Lions. We're going to bring that back to you in the next hour right here on Sports Radio 92 on the Game.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.